TV.
You think I'm going to keep this guy on the sofa for 8 days and you not see him on the screen? Yes, he thought he could get away with it. Mr. Greg Davis here. He likes being behind the scenes guy. He's the one at all the conferences. He's working the camera, making sure it's recorded for all the believers around the world to see. And so, and you know him well, ladies and gentlemen, on this channel, MCTV, every day. Every day you can count on Greg for a very erudite, very precise, very, very scripturally enlightening comment. I always enjoy your comments. You don't just mail it in. You don't just put out, oh, that was great. Thanks, Sander. You prove to me that you're listening. The guy actually listens, absorbs, and then you bring out something that I didn't think of, which pisses me off, to be honest with you. I said, why every time he's commenting, why didn't I think of that? Anyway, from Indianapolis, Indiana. Well, you don't actually live in Indianapolis, or do you?
I live in Greenfield now.
Where?
Greenfield.
Greenfield. Look it up on your map, folks.
About 20 minutes east of Indianapolis.
Okay. From that place.
Greenfield.
It is Greg Davis, our fellow believer. And now, your handle on the channel is what? What do you call yourself on the channel?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Greg Unirec.
Greg Unirec. And Unirec, for the audience here who doesn't know, what does Unirec stand for?
Universal Reconciliation.
Universal Reconciliation. Greg Unirec. Yes, Greg's the one you contact for the conferences. And our friend Young Terrence left yesterday. This man is leaving tomorrow, which saddens me because we have had great fellowship and I am just basking in it. But the good part is my wife, Maria, is coming back tomorrow. So it's a give and take here, losing Greg, which, you know, I'm not happy about. Maybe I'm going to try to talk Maria and that Greg can live with us. See how that goes over. He's a nice guy.
Does she like cats? Does she like cats?
Does she like cats? Yes, she does like cats. Cool. You have a cat. What's your cat's
name? I have two, Buddy and Miss Kitty.
Buddy and Miss Kitty. What? Do they get along pretty well?
Oh, yeah. Real well.
You've been holding on to me because I thought you only had one cat.
I got, and she's huge. She's really big. Really big.
She is. Miss Kitty's huge.
It took me a long time to come up with that name, too.
Well, that's a Gunsmoke character, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Miss Kitty. What? Didn't she run the hotel or something? That was a Gunsmoke.
The bar, wasn't it?
The bar?
Wasn't it a bar she worked in?
I don't know.
We're showing our age.
My gosh, Gunsmoke. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I asked Greg to share this show with me, and so he did, and I'm happy to have him here. We've been talking about these bodies of humiliation. It's one thing we've been talking about. We're the same age. I asked Greg about how it feels for him to get up in the morning, and if he had told me that he jumps out of bed like a kangaroo every morning, I would have been a little upset. I admit to you, I was looking for the misery loves company principle to come to fruition there. And actually, how do you feel when you wake up in the morning, Greg, for the elucidation of our friends out there?
Oh, well, I did not disappoint, did I?
No.
Not great. Not great.
No? What happens?
Well, it starts with when I sit up, I have this positional vertigo problem. So when I sit up, I start spinning for 30 seconds or so.
You never told me that.
Well, that's, yeah.
That's, oh, my God. Please go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I just got so many issues.
Go on.
I guess the main one, the biggest one, is I have the same thing my father has, and apparently I've passed it on to a couple of my children, called ankylosing spondylitis. Oof. And basically that means my joints, beginning with my spine and my neck, are basically fusing. And my dad eventually, before he died, couldn't hardly bend over, couldn't stand up straight. It was like he had a steel rod in his back. And I'm getting that way. So that's what I have to look forward to. I have a little minor things other than that. That's the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one. But the other ones are minor only compared to that. Yeah. I mean, you told me you have pretty much pain everywhere. Not that I know. See, you don't want to talk about it. But I want to talk about it. And it's terrible to say, but sometimes a person feels so alone in their agonies and their struggles, and you figure, I'm the only one who gets out of bed. Like, I used to get out of bed pretty well, but now it's just like, you get out and, you know, your vision takes a while to, you know, to come to its natural state. And it's just humiliating, absolutely humiliating. And the day has just begun. This is how it starts. So, folks, if you're having issues with your body. We're going to bring you some passages from 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Yeah, some good news. We got some good news.
We have some good news about the body. Paul knew about this too. Our brothers and sisters in Christ from centuries ago, even the Apostle Paul himself, had issues with the body. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to start in verse 5. And I guess this is a good place to start because it touches upon what young Terrence and I were talking about. For we are not heralding ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Yet ourselves, your slaves, because of Christ. So if we're heralding ourselves at all, it's heralding ourselves as slaves, as those who can do nothing but what Christ has us do. No champions of free will are we. No, we are.
Absolutely not.
We're on the potter's wheel. And so that's the only time we herald ourselves. And even when we talk about the topic of the last 5 days, it's not a heralding of ourselves. It's a looking into Scripture of what God says concerning us. Verse 6, I like this. For the God who says that out of darkness light shall be shining is he who shines in our hearts with a view to the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What I get out of that, Greg, you probably heard me, I don't teach on this before, is that the same God who says, out of darkness light shall be shining. That was in Genesis. Let there be light. Our God is so powerful, he speaks and light comes into being. That's how powerful he is. Whenever I see storms or tornadoes, or I love these powerful manifestations of meteorology because it reminds me how powerful God is, but especially Genesis, God who speaks into existence light. That same God who says, out of darkness light shall be shining, is he who shines in our hearts. So the same God with the power and the might and the authority to say, let there be light, is he who shines in our hearts. So the same power that brought light out of the darkness is he who shines in our hearts with a view to, that is, with a goal of, the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you think that could possibly fail?
Absolutely not. That's what keeps me going.
That's what, and it's the evidence is that what he did in creation.
Right, exactly.
And ironically, we're made of the same creation as the earth. We're made of the same soil, the same materials that existed in the earth. And so the God who has such power over that earth and over the celestial beings as well, it is no problem for him to speak the word and shine in our hearts with the illumination, with a view toward the illumination of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Now, my favorite verse, go ahead and read verse 7, this one.
I don't know how you can read that little text. But.
Oh, boy, let me make it bigger for you.
Thanks, hey, I'm an old guy.
You didn't mention your vision was going to hell.
Well, yeah. I got about a couple of dozen eye floaters going around in there.
You got a couple dozen eye floaters, right?
Most of them are small, but I got a couple of big ones.
Really?
Yeah.
What are they in a particular shape? Like the RDM, like shaped like the state of Texas or anything interesting like that? Or
amoeba, if you know what amoeba looks like. A lot of them look like an amoeba.
An amoeba.
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple of like clear dots with black dots in the middle of them. I got a couple, and I sometimes I play with them. I'll look around. I just follow them around.
If anyone else out there.
You got to take it. You can't take it seriously, or you'll go crazy. So
you will.
Yeah, and I just want to fit with a view. Mm-hmm. That's I do that in my mind. I view the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That is what I think of every day. That's what keeps me from going crazy. Besides playing with the life floaters.
Did you actually see something? Do you try to see something with a view? Is that how literal do you get with that?
I wouldn't say I get literal about it, but I just know that I'm going to see the face of Christ someday, and that's what I look forward to, and that's what keeps me going.
That's what's supposed to keep you going. Yeah. That's exactly what's supposed to keep you going. Yes, yeah, the illumination to the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So what I'm hearing from you, and I never thought of it this way, in this passage, the face of Jesus Christ is literal.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow.
Very literal. It kind of going back to the Shroud of Turin thing, I personally believe that is an image of the face of Christ. And, you know, not in his glory, obviously.
No.
It was pretty humiliating. But It gives us an idea of what he looks like. Yeah, yeah. So did you want me to go ahead and read 7 now? Verse 7?
Yeah, no. I want to go back and relate that to these floaters.
Oh, floaters.
The floaters in your eyes.
Yeah.
What a contrast between, in your physical vision, in your physical body, you see these strange shapes.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Transparent circles with black dots in the middle?
Yeah, like a bubble. Like a bubble with a black dot in the middle of it.
Okay, and while you're in the midst of seeing these crazy things, which I'm assuming are some kind of defection of the eye,
yeah,
at the same time, your spirit's eye or your mind's eye is thinking of seeing the face of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of a conundrum there, isn't it?
But that's exactly what this passage is about.
Yes.
This passage, as we're going to see, and it's going to take more than one day for me to, I'm going to have to do it by myself because Greg's going to leave. But it is the conundrum of
I'll stay for 2 more weeks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We have to break it to Maria tomorrow. The thing is, it is a conundrum, but it's not if we understand it's meant to happen. Is it, all these things are, these two things are taking place simultaneously. Greg's crazy floaters in his eye and looking hard, trying to imagine, opening his eyes and seeing the face of Jesus Christ. All through this chapter, which is again chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about how this treasure operates presently in a body that would deny the whole thing. That when you look at your body, you deny that anything glorious could be happening inside the body or anywhere else in the body or in the spirit or in the mind. You tend to think that your body is a reflection of who you are, but it's not. Your body is the last reflection of who you are, and yet it's a reflection you see in the mirror. So what's the right reflection? The right reflection is seeing the Word of God and believing the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is a true reflection of who we are because of God, because of who God says we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally
agree.
You totally
agree? I believe, but I do agree with you.
Well, yeah, it's hard to believe, man. No, Greg, we generally agree.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't think of, is there a topic that we really disagree on?
Nothing major that I can think of.
No,
I'm still not convinced that Rome wasn't an actual empire. But other than that, I can't think of anything else.
What? No, Rome was not an empire. I mean, it was an empire, but it was not a world empire.
Well,
you don't even think it was an empire? Is that?
No, I do. Babylon? Babylon wasn't a world empire, but it's still considered an empire.
Well, the Babylonian Empire.
Yeah.
But wasn't
in the Roman Empire. Anyway, we're getting off the subject.
Yeah, we're getting off the subject here. But I mean,
that's the only thing I can think of that you've ever said that I'm not 100%.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to hear a show about that, let me know. And anybody who sees clear things with dark spots,
yeah, I'd like to know.
You know, write it in the comments,
because
Greg would like to know.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys compare dots, compare plasma. What is it? No, amoebas? Maybe you can compare. But this is not unusual. Okay, now this is the verse 7. Now we have this treasure. This really sums up the whole thing. We have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of God in us, the light shining out of the darkness, the light shining in our hearts, the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
This earthen vessel.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do we have that? Why is that situation among us? Because so that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. Same reason God waited till Abraham was as good as dead, and his wife Sarah was as good as dead to bring forth the promised son, so that it was seen to be a miracle. The same reason God backed up Israel against the Red Sea and had the Egyptian army charging after them from the south. The same reason that Gideon's army was reduced from 20,000 to 300 men against the Midianites, so that the power may be of God and not of us. The same reason that you have floaters in your eyes and you can hardly get out of bed in the morning. You have a spine that is fusing, which is nightmarish. Same reason I have this cancer in my neck is, and we're still broadcasting in spite of our humiliation. And you saw young Terrence sitting right here. Terrence, you wouldn't necessarily think of this person as a happy person.
No.
You know, I mean, this Terrence was so funny, we just kind of get some amusement of Terrence talking about how everything goes wrong. Like, everything he tries to do gets somehow sabotaged. Right. But he credits it to God.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, everything's of God, and he knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sometimes that's not easy to take, but especially when it's not great.
You know, he's in the pattern of Job.
Yeah.
Right in the pattern of Job. Who does he talk to? God, all the time.
Yeah. And screw Satan. He didn't have anything to do with this.
Who? What now?
Satan. Screw Satan. He doesn't have anything to do with this. That's God.
Screw Satan.
I was going to say another word, but.
What? Know. Satan?
I'm not
using it. You were going to use the F word.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Oh, but. I can't believe you. Yes, no, that is the complaint going to God. Yeah. And Terrence and I were talking about, it's so similar, just a simple thing. Like you get up to put your pants on in the morning and you get the leg in wrong, you can't get the other leg in, or your underwear's on backwards, and you just look up into heaven. I do. I look up into heaven and say, are you being amused? Is this fun for you? How many more of these plans do you have for me today?
You just did it out in the kitchen about an hour ago. Yeah.
I did. What did I do?
You dropped something or something. You said, was that funny for you?
Yeah, yeah. I do all the time.
Yeah, it was funny.
I think it's funny for me. Well, I'm glad you got amusement out of it. I'm here to amuse you always. It just seems to me it's a group effort. I mean, you know, that somebody suggests something, and it's just a constant barrage of humiliations, one after the other, after the other. And it doesn't have to be major stuff. It's the little things added up that make you crazy, speaking for myself.
And me.
Yeah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. And that is abundantly clear.
It is not of us.
That it is not.
I would not wish this on anybody.
No, we would not wish.
Not of me.
And you and I are the same age. We're 66 years old.
That is correct, sir.
How did that happen, sir?
Maybe our fathers got together with the same mother. I don't know.
The same mother. Well, it could be. We have a lot in common, except for that Roman Empire. I mean, I think my dad must have, you know, not believed there was a Roman Empire. And and your mom, I don't know, something happened there but with the Roman Empire. But it is fascinating how members of the body of Christ think alike, even in these humiliating things. Okay. And verse 8, you said before we started the show, you were reading this ahead of time, you said you really like verse 8. Since you like it so much, I'm going to let you read it.
Yeah, well, it's in everything, being afflicted, but not distressed, perplexed, but not despairing. With your eyes where they belong, on Christ, and not on your daily BS pains and stuff, without having something else to look at, you would go crazy. You would kill yourself, possibly.
Possibly.
A lot of people have, because they don't have that future to look to, our Savior to look to, someplace to go when this is done.
You know,
we know it's going to be over at some point, and we're going to be perfected, we're going to be glorified, and we're going to feel great, and we're going to have, I hope we can play football still in heaven. That's what I'm hoping.
Hey.
I want to go to Mars. I want to play football.
Maybe you'll be able to play football on Mars. Well,
or I could play football with Mars.
You can use Mars as the football.
That's what I'm hoping.
Okay, it's not shaped quite right. You'll have to maybe push it down in the middle and make a little bit of an oblate spheroid out of it, a bit of an oval shape.
Good point.
I think of our Lord when you mentioned seeing something else. And in Hebrews, Paul writes, for the joy set before him, our Lord endured the cross. So what was before him, what he was seeing with his earthly eyes was absolute terror, absolute horror. His mother was there crying. His disciple John was there. The priest came up laughing at him, mocking at him. Oh, I can't believe those guys. I'm so upset at the. I would like to cuss right now. Just one string of expletives after another, because how can you actually mock a man on a cross? I don't care if he's your worst enemy.
Right.
It's just beyond the pale. And so I really hate it. But they will have their moment.
Yeah.
At the Great White Throne, as we talked about yesterday. But for the joy set before him, sir, there was something else he was seeing besides that horrible sight of his grieving mother and the Romans stabbing him with a spear and the priests mocking him. What did he see? Did God give him a literal vision of his glory in heaven with his Father? Did he give him? For the joy set before him, there was some joy that he saw set before him.
He did it for Stephen. He gave Stephen a vision when he was being stoned. He looked and saw the face. He saw his Lord.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well,
so we have an example.
That's an excellent example. We do have an example. That's great. I didn't think of that. Stephen, and in the hour of distress, this comes. And I've heard people say that, of course, nobody can come back from the dead and testify to this, but in death, the mind mercifully, the body mercifully shuts down and you receive less and less input. The world becomes more and more dim as the dying process starts. So it seems to me, I mean, apart from those who die violently, God help us all, but it's just that those who die of disease, it's God slowly turning off the lights. It's a dimmer switch, yeah. Not a... In some cases, it's the other thing.
Right. And I certainly hope that's true. I know it. The vision that whatever God gave Christ, yeah, on the cross, that he is our example of how we are to handle the BS that happens in our lives, because he went through it. I mean, he went through it worse than any man.
Yeah.
So, yes. I can't complain about that, but I get that vision. You know, like I said, I look to him.
That's the right thing to do.
Yeah. You have to. Again, it's just that's what keeps me sane.
And Stephen is a great example, because as Stephen was being stoned, he looks to heaven and he gets this angelic look on his face, like he's seeing a vision or something, which he is. He's actually seeing the Lord standing at the right hand of God. And so he says, what does he say in that moment? Oh, I see the Lord standing at the right hand. He actually testifies to what he's seeing. And it had to have been a remarkable moment, including for Saul, who was apparently Saul, who became Paul, was standing by. He testified later that he was holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. Got to take off my coat so I can get a good backswing. These people are sick. And yet God, in the moment when it's needed, that's the thing, Greg, you know, in the moment when it's needed, he gives you the comfort. He gives you the comfort. And I think of our Lord, too, in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, man.
Right? To me, that was the true crisis for him. And it's remarkable when you hear that angels ministered to him. Right? You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Angels ministered to him. And so there's comfort sown into the agony, the misery, and the doom. So often I feel doom because I'm in Eon 3. So even as I'm the inward man, we're going to get down here. I don't think we're going to get down this far. I have to do this solo after you leave. But even as our outward man is decaying, and I'm just going to go down to this first, and then we're going to have to close. Where is the outward man? Okay, here it is in verse 16. Wherefore we are not despondent. And that's what we're trying to encourage you folks out there, along with ourselves, to not be despondent. Wherefore we are not despondent, but even if our outward man is decaying, nevertheless that within us is being renewed day by day. And this is going on at the same time. Read all of chapter 4. It's all about these two distressed, afflicted but not distressed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, not all these things are happening simultaneously. We didn't read verse 10 yet. Always carrying about in the body the deadening of Jesus. That's the doom part. That's the bad part. That the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. And that's now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The life of Jesus is somehow what we minister to people, even in our agony. Even in our misery, we're somehow ministering. I think the fact that Job simply remained under, endured his trial, was a testimony to his friends. And so in that way, the life of Christ, which of course Christ had not been manifested yet, but yet, nevertheless, we see something of the glory of God, even in Job's complaint that he's remaining under it. Yeah. We talked about endurance, as you know. Mm-hmm. There's something to it. Endurance sounds like nothing, just remaining under it. But my God, I believe endurance is a testimony of the entire celestial realm.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, when you read verse 16, it says that, wherefore we are not despondent. We are going to get despondent sometimes. We're going to get down.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Paul is not saying, you're going to go to hell for that or something. But we will be despondent, but we look away from ourselves and we be renewed day by day at the end of that verse says. So we will be despondent from time to time. So, I don't want anybody to think that, we're preaching that, you should be happy and joyful all the time, because we're not going to be. I knew that was coming.
You mean like this?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean.
Clyde's new book, The Leaping Jesus.
That's right.
Okay.
But we will be, we will be renewed. If we look to him, look away from us, take our minds off of the crap that we're going through all the time, and just let it happen. Let his renewal come.
It not only says, Greg, we will be renewed, so nevertheless, that within us is being renewed day by day.
Yeah.
And that's a thing of faith. Right. That's a thing of faith.
Absolutely.
So there's much more here. Maybe I'll continue this tomorrow, but it won't be the same without you, my brother. I'm going to take you to the airport. Actually, I think Maria's coming back first and then taking you to the airport. So it has been an amazing time of fellowship. Thanks to the brothers and my sister Kelly first and then the brothers. We were all here at the same time for a couple of days. And then, but because of the love that these brothers have for me and my sister, I have not had to spend a night alone. And I'm a bit of a, I'm a bit of a baby about that.
I thought I heard you whining a couple times.
Yeah, you hear me silence, weeping silently.
Yeah.
I make sure I weep silently, but not silently enough so that people don't hear me, because I want people to hear me and come rescue me. Anyway, in all seriousness.
Right along.
Yeah, in all seriousness, it has been a treat. Gonna hate to see you go tomorrow.
Great to be here. Thank you for letting me share in your life.
Oh, this man's becoming more of a friend every time we get together. And the only advantage of you going back is for your cat. For one thing, your cat misses you.
Oh yeah, Buddy misses me badly. My brother told me that.
What about the other one? What's it called? The Queen of Sheba?
Yeah, Miss Kitty. Oh. She actually, we have four cats, and so she's kind of in love with my brother's male cat. So he keeps her busy. So she doesn't worry about me too much.
I won't get into the details if he keeps her busy, but it's Buddy who's. It's Buddy who's really waiting for you, right?
That's right. Yeah, he misses me. My brother tells me that every day.
Okay, well.
He meets me at the door. I go out for 5 minutes. Yeah. I come back in. He runs to the door to meet me. I mean, he can't stand to be away from me.
Because he knows that you're the key to his deliverance. Is it Buddy? Is it him, right?
Yeah.
All creation is groaning, including Buddy. And Buddy knows that you're a child of God. You're a son of God. And that the Spirit of God makes his home in you. And that there's a good vibe between you and Buddy and all creation. I get a good vibe from you sitting next to you. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. So, so you got to get back so you can start commenting on the videos again.
Because I don't really get on the computer much here. So we're doing it through YouTube on the TV, and you can't comment from there.
You can't comment from there. So you got to get home just so you can start commenting on the videos and not rob these viewers of your wisdom and your really way with words. You have a nice way with words.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so I will see you tomorrow all by myself. It has been a joy to spend time with these brothers. Have a safe trip back, and I will see you one-on-one tomorrow. Grace and peace.